Sabbath blessings, everyone. Is the sound okay? Praise the Lord. If you have any prayer requests, just place it in the room and let's all, if you all can kneel, let's do so. We're going to pray. Please bow your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with this beautiful Holy Sabbath day. Thank you so much for changing the soul bread each and every week. Thank you for loving us and caring for us this past week and helping us with our trials that we go through. And thank you so much for the trials that you have allowed to happen, because we know that you're always there with us to help us get through things and to learn that we must rely on you all the time and not on ourselves. Please forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from our iniquities. And please bless our prayer requests only with accordance to your will. And please bless us this Sabbath day, and please help us in keeping your commandments, that we may love you and love our fellow men. With the help of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of your Son, and our King, our righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So before we start the study, I would like to remind everyone, each and every one of us, this is the house of prayer, and we must respect the Lord during this time. So our study for this week is the continuation of Closer Walk with Jesus, but a brand new subtopic, and it's heavy oil in your lamps. To begin with the study, there are two classes of professing Christians today. One is following the Lamb wheresoever he goeth, and one professing by lip service only, being Isaiah 4:1 type Christians. Both receive the word of God and warnings from the Lord Jesus. As we all know that the Church of God is being the bride and Christ the bridegroom. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The wedding is soon to happen, and when our Lord Jesus comes, we as his bride must get ready to be counted as wise virgins. So in the parable of 10 virgins, Matthew chapter 25 verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. I'd like to share Signs of the Times, August 6, 1894, paragraph 1, it says, seated upon the Mount of Olives, which was over against the temple, with his disciples around him, Jesus seeks to make clear in a prophetic discourse the deeper mysteries of the kingdom of God through his favorite medium, by parables. He endeavors to imprint upon their minds the spiritual truths connected with his second coming to our world. The sun has set behind the mountains, and the heavens are curtained with the shapes of evening. A dwelling house is lighted up brilliantly, as though for some festive scene. The lights shine from the open spaces, and an expectant company wait around, indicating that a marriage procession is soon to appear. In many parts of the East, wedding festivities are held in the evening. The bridegroom goes forth to meet his bride and bring her to his home. By torchlight, he will bring her along the streets from her father's house to his home, where a supper is prepared for the guests invited to the wedding. Matthew chapter 25, verse 2. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Why is number 10 being used in this parable? Signs of the Times, August 6, 1894, paragraph 2. Lingering near the bride's house are 10 young women, in attire suitable for the occasion. 10 was the usual number who were chosen as bridesmaids. Each of the bridal attendants has a lamp and a small vessel for oil. Their lamps are lighted, and as hour after hour of waiting goes by, they grow weary of watching, and one after another, they fall asleep. About midnight, the sleepers are awakened with the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." They exchange their slumbers for life and activity. They spring to their feet. The wedding procession is in sight, with the brilliant torches shining, and they can hear the music, the joyous music as they approach. The 10 virgins seize their lamps and begin to trim them to go forth. But five of the watchers have been wise, and five foolish. Five have neglected to fill their vessels with oil. They have not expected the bridegroom to tarry so long, and have not prepared for the emergency. They are in distress, not because they see that their lamps are going out, but because they know not that there is nothing in their vessels by which to replenish them. They address a piteous appeal to those who have provided themselves with oil, but they are denied, for the wise virgins have only enough to fill their own lamps, and they are bidden to hasten away, and buy oil from the dealer. And while they are away on this errand, the bridegroom comes. The wise virgins, with lamps trimmed and burning, join the procession in going to the wedding, and the door is shut. Matthew chapter 25, verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Testimonies for the Church, volume 5, page 219. Paragraph 4, it says, genuine faith is followed by love, and love by obedience. All the powers and passions of the converted man are brought under the control of Christ. His spirit is a renewing power, transforming to the divine image all who will receive it. It makes me sad to say that this experience is understood but by few who profess the truth. Very many who follow on their own ways and indulge their sinful desires and yet profess to be disciples of Christ. They have never submitted their hearts to God. Like the foolish virgins, they have neglected to obtain the oil of grace in their vessels with their lamps. I tell you, my brethren, that a large number who profess to believe and even to teach the truth are under the bondage of sin. Base passions defile the mind and corrupt the soul. Some who are in the vilest iniquity have borrowed the library of heaven that they may serve Satan more effectively. Brothers and sisters, if you come across anyone that say the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or saying it is just a breath process, how then is the Holy Spirit going to help that individual to keep the Ten Commandments? The oil of grace will not be imparted to any disobedient individual. One who says such things will not receive the blessings of the latter rain when it comes. But our Lord is so merciful and will give everyone chances to repent. How about when the people say Jesus Christ is not God? Or if they say He is a created being? Ask them this question. Do you ask Jesus to forgive your sins? And if they say yes, that is the proof that Jesus is the second supreme being of the Godhead family and not a created being. Mark chapter 2 verse 7, it says, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" So this verse proves that Jesus is God as well as the Father and also the Holy Spirit. So the three separate beings, three different offices. Matthew chapter 25 verse 4 says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." The words vessels and lamps are being mentioned in this parable. What are these? Vessels are believers, chosen person, God's love, mankind, or body. Student of prophecy, we use line upon line, precept upon precept to learn the word of God properly. So when Saul became Paul the Apostle, right before that, the Lord Jesus spoke to Ananias in Damascus. Acts chapter 9 verse 19, it says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 34, it says, "Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon had devoured me, and he had crushed me. He had made me an empty vessel. He had swallowed me up like a dragon. He had filled his belly with my delicates. He had cast me up." How about lamps? Lamp is, as in the spirit of prophecy, declares the knowledge of the scripture. Review and Herald, March 27, 1894, paragraph 5, it says, "The oil of grace gives to men the courage and supplies to them the motives for doing every day the work that God appoints to them. The five foolish virgins had lamps." This means a knowledge of scripture truth. But they had not the grace of Christ. Day by day, they went through a round of ceremonies and external duties, but their service was lifeless, devoid of the righteousness of Christ. The Sun of Righteousness did not shine in their hearts and minds, and they had not the love of the truth, which conforms to the life and character, the image and superscription of Christ. The oil of grace was not mingled with their endeavors. Their religion was a dry husk without the true kernel. They held fast to form of doctrines, but they were deceived in the Christian life, full of self-righteousness and failing to learn lessons in the school of Christ, which, if practiced, would have made them wise unto salvation. Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Most professed Christians today, brothers and sisters, say that the Ten Commandments are abolished, especially when the Sabbath commandment is brought into the conversation. They will say, Jesus is now our Sabbath. And if they finally ignore and refuse to keep God's law, they will not see what the path they are walking on because they have not the oil in their lamps. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, and it says, For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs and instruction are the ways of life. So aside from not having the oil, they will also be walking without a lamp. They cannot have the oil of grace without a lamp to place the oil into. To refuse to keep God's law is to walk without a lamp, while professing to be following Christ. To walk without a lamp and with no oil in it is like comparison to worshiping one God, theology. Because when they say the commandments are done away with, and when the Bible, when it clearly said in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp. Christ is the word of God, so that means Christ is the lamp. So when they deny the commandments, they also deny Christ, because for the commandment is a lamp, it says in Proverbs verse 23. And also denying the Holy Spirit for not obeying the commandments. So that's worshiping one God. That's like theology of one God, you know, denying the two entity. Romans chapter 3 verse 20, it says, Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law of God, being the lamp, will help us to walk in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will help us to keep it, for we cannot keep it by ourselves. The eternal law of God helps us what to obey and how to detect sin and abhor it. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4, it says, Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Those who deny or refuse to keep the eternal law of God, the Ten Commandments, this will be an open door for them to be in the category of foolish virgins if they don't repent before it's too late. But the Godhead family is so patient that no human being can match the patience and long-suffering that God show every human being. To have the peace of Jesus is to seek more out of His law. Psalms 119 verse 18, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The serious followers of Christ are going to be sanctified in His truth, with daily Bible study and prayers. John chapter 17, verse 17, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So there are so many lies that's floating around out there saying all you have to do is proclaim Jesus our Lord and be baptized and you'll be good to go. That's not what the Bible says. That's what the false prophets are saying. Matthew chapter 25, verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Brothers and sisters, when an individual is not studying the Bible and not praying daily, though weekly church attendance is there, but this will not alone strengthen the relationship with Christ. This will become his or her practice until fully unawares that the Lord's coming is at hand. Those people who are still inside the SDA church, when their own president said Sunday law is not in the pipeline, those members of the SDA churches have to wake up. It's time to search the Bible diligently and to pray to the Lord to come out of apostasy. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? The attitude of, I'll do it later. I will study later. I will study when I have time. I don't have time to study. Or I'll study when everybody study. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Brothers and sisters, it is our duty to study the Word of God daily and to pray three times daily. And also, too much studying can also have severe effects on our health, as flesh can only handle certain hours of studying in a day. A perfect balance should be maintained while a diligent student of the Bible. Aside from studying, the body needs physical labor such as tilling the land, gardening, and other temporal responsibilities as long as we glorify the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, it says, and further, by this, my son, be admonished, of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Twelve hours is a day. It's more than enough to schedule Bible study time, prayers, and reaching out to those who are in need. Plus, the Bible can also be read at night, before at bedtime. We really don't have any excuse to say, I don't have time to do so. Some have schools, but you can still study the Bible with having 12 hours in a day. John chapter 11, verse 9, it says, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. So, brothers and sisters, let us utilize our time perfectly according to God's will. And having been blessed by 12 hours in a day, that is a lot of time to study and meditate in God's Word and do other things with perfect balance. Matthew chapter 25, verse 6 and 7, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So that's a strong concordance for the word trimmed, G2885, meaning to put in order. To put in proper order. So, brethren, sisters, it is not good to procrastinate and trim our lamps to the very last minute because they will not be in proper order due to the lack of preparation. A brother in the faith may have shared a story about an individual that he preached to when that person said to him, "Just repent before you die and you will be okay," just to have an excuse to continue in sin. But we all know God is not mocked, for he knows all the intentions of all men. Having some degree of knowledge, but not living in the high moral standards of Christ, will be in great danger of becoming a foolish virgin. Distractions also can happen to us from getting our lamps trimmed. So let us not be distracted with any worldliness that Satan uses each and every day against us, against his people, against God's people. So there are those who rely their faith and spiritual growth from their pastors. When the pastors have backslidden, they are also are being taken away in the same direction due to not trusting Christ in his word first, instead they trust their own leaders. For example, if one says, "My pastor says it's okay to keep Sunday holy or to eat unclean food, as long as you just pray over it or celebrate any pagan holidays." A pastor is not the word of God, but Christ is the word made flesh. Review in Herald, October 1st, 1889, paragraph 4, it says, "There are many who have merely nominal faith, but this faith will not save you. Many believe in Christ because somebody else does, because the minister has told them this or that. But if you rest your faith only on the minister's word, you will be lost. You must not do as did the foolish virgins, who, when the cry came, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh,' found no oil in their vessels. When they discovered their lack, they sought those who were wise and applied to them for oil for their dying lights, but it was too late to supply them. The wise had only enough for their own use, and they told the foolish virgins they must go and buy oil for themselves. We all must buy oil for ourselves. We must not be content with a mere profession. We are to take a stand for the truth by profession, and the principles of truth must become a part of our life." So brothers and sisters, as often as we hear our dear Pastor Nicholas say, don't just believe in him, open your Bibles and check him out to make sure what he's saying is correct in the Bible. So we are to check the Bible at all times, and if everything that's being said by any one of us to each other is 100% correct in accordance with the Bible truth. Matthew chapter 25, verse 8 and 9, it says, "And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.'" Review in Herald, September 17, 1895, paragraph 2, it says, "Though five of these virgins are represented as wise and five as foolish, all had lamps. They had all been convicted that they must prepare for the coming of the bridegroom, and all had gained a knowledge of the truth. There was no apparent difference between the wise and the foolish until the cry was made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' But a true state of things was then developed. The wise had taken precautions to carry oil with them in their vessels, so that their lamps that were beginning to burn dimly might be replenished with oil. But the foolish had not provided for this emergency, and now they made an earnest distress petition to those who were wise. Unquote. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They had neglected to prepare themselves to meet the bridegroom, and now turned to those who had provided themselves with oil. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. So the pastors who tell them what to do cannot, even those pastors who preach lies, none of those pastors can provide oil. Only the Godhead family can provide oil. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro, seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. The Lord never slept on His promise and gave us all what we need to prepare. We must also share with others on how to prepare for His coming. We must cooperate with Him that we may obtain the oil of grace to keep our lamps trim, brothers and sisters. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, and that will be the end of the first part of the study. In the next voice you shall hear will be your brother Sean. There will be a music after this, and then he will start with prayer. Sabbath blessings and God bless.